بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. Continuing our readings in the book Kitab al-Tawheed by the great Imam Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhabi rahimahullah ta'ala, continuing in the chapter Babu Tafsir al-Tawheed wa Shahadati an la ilaha illallah, the great chapter the author he has titled The Interpretation of al-Tawheed and the Testification that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. As we have seen in several classes previously, that the author, he has begun this work, Kitab al-Tawheed, الَّذِي هُوَ حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعَبِيدِ, with the clarification of the meaning of Tawheed and the introduction, mentioning the verses directly that clarify the meaning of Tawheed, and then also after that clarifying the virtue of al-Tawheed. So the meaning and the tafsir of Tawheed has proceeded. So someone may ask, why now the chapter comes here with the explanation of al-Tawheed and the Shahada and La ilaha illallah, when in reality the author, he has clarified in great detail the meaning of Tawheed previously with the previous verses mentioned, and likewise the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the answer is that in these verses, particularly in this chapter, the author, he clarifies in great detail the reality of Tawheed al-Ibadah, the obligation of making the worship sincerity for Allah alone, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, which is intended, the intent of this book. And the reason why he authored this book is to clarify Tawheed, but particularly Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Ibadah, to clarify Tawheed al-Ibadah, and to clarify the great right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Tawheed is established upon two pillars, very important, as we've seen in previous classes. That tawheed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with, and that is the meaning and the explanation and the tafsir of shahada and la ilaha illallah, it stands and is established by two pillars, an-nafyu wal-ithbat, by negation and affirmation. Nafyun amun li jami'i ma yu'badu min dunillah wa ithbatun khas al-ibadati lillahi wahdahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, to generally negate worship or the right to be worshipped from everything besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and to affirm it specifically for Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Likewise, this chapter is a clear refutation to those people who have attached their hearts to the awliya and to the salihin. A clarification of this likewise, that in refutation for those people, because many people from the people of Shahada, or they claim the Shahada, or they state the Shahada, but their hearts are attached to the awliya and to the salihin, and they worship them besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and many of them do not realize that. So in this chapter, there is a clarification or further clarification of the Tawheed, Tawheed al-Ibadah, and the refutation and clear proof for the obligation of making the worship sincerity for Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and that the righteous and those upright and pious people, whether they are from the angels or whether they are from the prophets or those lesser than them, they're not worthy of worship, and to direct worship to them is shirk akbar. So this is why the author, he mentioned the very first verse, he says, wa qawli lahi ta'ala ulaika alladhina yad'una yabtaghuna ila rabbihim wal wasila ayyuhum aqrab al-ayata. Yani, whenever he says al-ayata here, what does that mean? Aywa, akmil al-ayata. Akmil al-ayata. Meaning that he only mentioned a portion of it. Dhakara taraf al-ayah. Yani, to make it easy to memorize. But really what is intended, the full ayah. And also in order to understand clearly, or a greater clarification for the intent of the author, here we read the verse that's before it. The verse before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, قُلُوا دُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُ مِن دُونِهِ فَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ كَشْفَ الضُّرِّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا تَحْوِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اُدُعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُ مِن دُونِهِ, call on those, supplicate to those whom you like. And this is not intended for them to actually do that, but this is called tawbih and a rebuttal and a refutation. And so that they can call on those whom you like besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Call on those whom you like besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They are not able to remove the harm or to change it. لا يملكون كشف الضر عنكم ولا تحويله. They're not able. فلا يملكون كشف الضر عنكم ولا تحويله. They're not able to remove the harm or the difficulty or the calamity or a sickness or a disease or anything that is harmful from you, nor are they able to change it, to redirect it. They can't make it happen to somebody else, or they can't make it come on another day, or they can't make it become lighter. They can't make the headache go to a toothache, and they can't make the toothache turn into a handache. They can't move it. Wherever Allah has decreed for that pain or calamity to befall, it will be there. And those whom they call on, besides Allah Azza wa Jal, they have no ability to change it or to move it or to redirect it even. They can't take it away. They can't protect someone from harm. They can't remove harm after it has come. Whether it's a calamity in money or wealth or in the body or an ailment or the likes like this, فَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ كَشْفَ الضُّرِّ عَنْكُمْ. They can't remove it. And even وَلَا تَحْوِيلَهُ. And they can't even redirect it or change it or cause it to come another day. This is the case. This is the case Allah is mentioning about this here. And then he says, after that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse the author mentioned, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ وَسِيلًا. Those whom they are calling on, they themselves seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. They themselves seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبْ وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتُهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ كَانَ مَحْذُورًا. That those whom they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, they themselves are seeking nearness to Allah. They themselves are seeking, they're worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, trying to draw near to Him by acts of obedience. They themselves know their need for Allah Azza wa Jal and are afraid of Him, and they're hoping for His reward. And verily, and they're afraid of His punishment. And verily, the punishment of Allah is something to be afraid of. It's been mentioned several interpretations of this verse. Some have said that this verse was revealed with regards to those who worship Isa and Uzair and the likes, and they're worshiping the prophets, so they're righteous, rather they're from the most righteous. Others have mentioned that this is referring to those who worshiped angels. As we have seen previously, likewise, some have said that this is with regards to those who worship the jinn. There was a group of jinn who were misguided, and these people, they worshiped those jinn, and then those jinn accepted Islam. And they became righteous, and those people were not aware of that, and they continued to worship them. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ أَنْفُسُهُمْ. They themselves are seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. They themselves are seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. So we see here that this verse is referring to anybody who worships something or his object of worship is righteous. And those who worship the angels, those are from the righteous. Those who worship the prophets, those are from the righteous. Or even those lesser than that, likewise, from the righteous, from the awliya, this verse is referring to them. That they're not able to remove harm. They're not able to remove harm. And they themselves are afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're not able to bring good. And they themselves are hoping for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then if that's the case, that the angels and the prophets and the righteous are not able to respond to the supplication or to remove harm or to bring good, then how about the corrupt and the wicked and evil? Or how about the stones and the rocks? Of course, they have no ability. They have no ability. This is a clear refutation for those people who have, or how about those who are dead and not even alive? And it's a clear refutation of those people that they're not able to aid or support, and to call on them as falsehood. Rather, this is major shirk. So the author, after this, then this is the clarification of this, that the righteous people, they cannot benefit anyone, then they're not worthy of worship. That they themselves, they seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. They themselves are in need. They hope for the mercy of Allah, and they fear His punishment themselves. How could they remove harm from others? How could they bring benefit to others? So the one who is able to bring benefit and the one who is able to remove harm is Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Now this is the meaning of Tawheed. This is the meaning of Tawheed. So here we see the author rahimahullah ta'ala is very ذكي جدا, and the way that he mentioned, very intelligent and very bright. And here the tafsir of Tawheed is not coming by mentioning Tawheed, but rather coming by mentioning shirk. He's mentioning verses that relate to shirk. So here we see that to clarify the reality of Tawheed, he mentioned, as we said before, mentioning Tawheed in many other verses, and the virtue of Tawheed and the likes, and the meaning of it, Tawheed and the Shahada. Now he's clarifying Tawheed from another aspect by mentioning its opposites. By mentioning its opposites, as the poet that is mentioned, الضد يظهر حسنه الضد وبالضد تتميز الأشياء, that the opposite of something will clarify its beauty. So if somebody would like to know the beauty of a tawheed, then let him understand the filth and the disgustingness of shirk. If somebody wants to understand the beauty of the sunnah and the lofty status and rank of the sunnah, let him understand the disgustingness of bid'ah and innovations like this. So whenever, and likewise, by understanding opposites, they become clear. Some things might be mixed up and not be clear, but if you learn this one and then you learn its opposite, now the affair becomes even more clear. And a greater clarification. So here we see that this is greater clarification, because those people that state the Shahada and they think that they have Tawheed, but they're calling on the angels, or they're calling on Isa, or they're calling on Uzair, or even lesser than those, they're calling on the Awliya. They're calling on the Awliya besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is the clarification here. That right there, that's shirk. That's contrary. So sometimes in order to clarify an issue, a person will clarify it directly to show exactly what it means, yani bil mutabaqa. Other times he will mention a lid, the opposite of that, to clarify that thing. Another time somebody might clarify something by showing or clarifying that which negates it. That which negates it. And this is what the author is doing here in this chapter. And he is clarifying the true meaning of Tawheed, or the true meaning of the Shahada. And the true meaning of the Shahada, la ilaha illallah, is it Tawheed. And the reality of Tawheed is contrary to all of these things mentioned here. The opposite of these things mentioned here. Calling on Allah alone, hoping for Allah alone, worshipping Allah alone, believing that Allah alone can bring benefit, believing that Allah alone can remove harm. And nothing in the creation has a hand in this, or an affair in this, or an ability to do any of this. Naam. So then the author, he mentioned, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذْ قَالِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِي إِنَّنِي بَرَأٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. An ayat. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is referring to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And whenever Ibrahim, he said to his father and his people, "Verily, I am free from that which you worship, except for the one who created me, except for the one who created me." And then he said, until the end of the verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions, "Except for the one who created me, فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ Except for the one who created me, verily, he will guide me. Verily, he will guide me. وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ And he has made it a statement, Ibrahim. He has made this here. Whenever he said to his father and to his people, إِنَّنِي بَرَأٌ مِّنْكُمْ إِنَّنِي بَرَأٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي This statement here. Ibrahim said to his father and to his people, "Verily, I'm free from that which you worship, except for the one who created me. Except for the one who created me, verily he will guide me." And Allah and Ibrahim, he made this statement here, جَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً يعني دَائِمَ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَفِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ مِمَّنْ هَدَهُمُ اللَّهِ That he left, Ibrahim, he made this here, this statement here. "I'm free from you and what you worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal, except for the one who created me." He made this statement to remain in his family, and he, with his offspring, from those who guided, from those whom Allah has guided. So, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that they can return. يَرْجِعُونَ إِلَيْهَا إِلَى هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ The ulama, they agree that وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ And that's what's understood from this verse here. إِنَّنِي بَرَأٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي This is لا إله إلا الله. Who can prove it? Negation and affirmation. Ahsant, where is it at? The negation, he said, "I'm free from that which you worship." And the affirmation? Except for the one who created me. Ahsantum, Allahumma barik. Naam. Except for the one who created me. This is La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. I'm free from that which you worship. I'm free from that which you worship. So here the author is clarifying that that Tawheed and the true meaning of Shahada, it requires al-bara'ah. A bara'ah min al-shirk wa ahlihi. Al-bara'ah min al-shirk wa ahlihi. There's another verse, whenever Allah spoke about Ibrahim and his people. لقد كانت لكم أسوة حسنة في إبراهيم والذين معه إذ قالوا لقومهم إنا براء منكم ومما تعبدون. إنا براء منكم ومما تعبدون. Whenever verily you have a uswa hasana, a good role model, an example in Ibrahim and those with him, alayhi salam, whenever they said to their people, verily we are free from you and that which you worship. We are free from you and that which you worship besides Allah. And then the verse continues, and Allah, and then he says, وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ أَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدًا. That there has occurred between us, or appeared between us, enmity and hatred, and forever until you believe in Allah alone. حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدًا. So from the completion of التوحيد, and from the rights of التوحيد, and from the reality of لا إله إلا الله, البراءة من الشرك وأهله. البراءة من الشرك وأهله. That a person will be free from shirk, that he will free himself from shirk and his people, that he will free himself from shirk and his people. That this is a requirement. This is a requirement to declare shirk to be falsehood, and every other deen besides the deen of Islam to be falsehood, and to believe that it's falsehood, and to have no doubt about that, and to believe that, and to know that, and to understand that, that everything that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal does not deserve to be worshipped, and it's falsehood. Some people, if they believe, maybe they're all right, the Christians have their deen, we have our deen, everybody's good. La, la, this person, his shahad is deficient in the asl. No, no, no. La budda min al-bara'ah. There has to be al-bara'ah, and to free oneself from shirk and its people, to free oneself from shirk and its people. La'allahum yarji'un, la'allahum yarji'un. Shaykh ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked a beautiful question, and this is very important, especially for us in these lands, especially for those who have family members who are non-Muslim. What does it mean to have bara'ah min al-shirki wa ahlihi? وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاءُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. Enmity and hatred. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he was asked, يعني, مَا الْمَقْسُودُ بِأَنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمُ تَبَرَّعَ مِنْ أَبِيهِ. What is the intent that Ibrahim, he freed himself from his father? He made al-bara'ah. Al-bara'ah is to free oneself. I'm innocent of that. I'm free from that. Now from his father. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-maqsudu annahu tabarra' min dinihi, ay shirk, fatabarra' min diyanatihi wa min kufrihi billahi, wa lam yatabarra' min ihsanihi, wa lam yatabarra' min ihsanihi. Very, very important understanding. He says here, rahimahullah, the intent that he freed himself from his father is that he freed himself from his religion, and which is shirk. And he freed himself from his religious way, and he freed himself from disbelief in Allah. But he did not free himself from being kind to his father and treating him with respect, the ihsan. وَإِنَّمَا أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهِ وَرَفَقَ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَدَعَ لَهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُ كَثِيرًا. But rather, Ibrahim, he treated his father very well, and he was kind to him and gentle. يا أبتي لما تعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصي ولا يغني عنك شيئا. يا أبتي إني أخاف عليك. يا أبتي, this is one of the most beautiful ways a man could, or a child could address his father. يا أبتي, like this with the ta, not يا أبي أو أبي. يا أبتي, this is a very يعني بالترقيم وباللطف, like this, in a beautiful, my beloved father. This is how Ibrahim, he addresses. Why do you worship something that cannot hear or cannot see? And this is something that already means that there is something in the mind, deficiency. They worship somebody they can't see, they can't hear, they can't respond. But he didn't belittle him. Ya Abdi, why do you do this? Oh, my beloved father, like this. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he said, so he treated him well and he was kind to him. He was kind to him and he supplicated for him and he made istighfar for him. This part, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned that we can't do that. Make istighfar for them, for the disbelievers, but we can supplicate for them. Oh Allah, guide my mother. Oh Allah, guide my father. Oh Allah, guide my brother, my sister, or my friend, or my companion, or my colleague. Like this, we can ask for guidance for them, and this is from the best of ihsan. This is from the best of ihsan, to supplicate for them. The point is here that Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned that that's the reality, that he to free oneself like this is to free oneself from their deen, from their way. But as for the right of ihsan upon the parent, this remains. Unless that parent became muhariban, and he started to go to war and started to harm physically and verbally like this. But as for the one that's peaceful and the likes like this, it's not permissible to disrespect them or to free oneself from them and cut ties. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن يُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, which with reference to the worst of all things a person can do, if your parents, both of them, were to strive against, إِن جَاهَدَاكَ, يعني مُجَاهَدَ, meaning they strove very hard against you to make you associate partners with me, that which you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Then what did He say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But accompany them. If they call you to make shirk with me, don't obey them. But accompany them with ma'roof in the dunya. In this life, accompany them in a good manner. Naam, accompany them in a good manner. Ibn Kathir, he said, أَيْنْ حَرَسَا عَلَيْكَ كُلَّ الْحِرْسِ عَلَىٰ أَن تُتَابِعَهُمَا عَلَىٰ دِينِهِمَا فَلَا تَقْبَلْ مِنْهُمَا ذَلِكَ. He said, meaning if they strive against you, meaning all diligence, taking every means they can to get a person to follow their deen, the deen of another deen besides Islam, Christianity for example, or any other deen, do not accept that from them. If they strive, كُلَ الْحِرْسِ, to get you to follow their deen, do not accept that from them. And then he says, Ibn Kathir, Rahimahullah al-Mufassir, المحدث الإمام رحمه الله تعالى ولا يمنعنك ذلك من أن تصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفة. But do not let that, what? ذلك refers back to. أيوة إن حرص عليك كل الحرص. If they strive everything they can do, diligent as hard as they can to make you follow their deen, don't accept that from them. But don't let that, the action from them, prohibit you from dealing with them in a good manner. In a good manner. Don't let that prohibit you from dealing with them in a good manner. In a good manner. Sometimes, especially when we come to Islam, or we come to the straight path, maybe we were already Muslim, but before we weren't practicing, or we weren't following the correct deen, or we weren't upon the sunnah. And then, before that, we have a good relationship with our family. Mother and father, we're close with them, or one of them, or the other one closer than the other, very close. And then we learn about Tawheed in detail and the Sunnah in the detail, but there's a misunderstanding in the suluk and the behavior and the application and the khuluk which required from that. And we misunderstand some of the text, and we find people becoming harsh to their parents. Before coming to the haq, they're kind. After coming to the haq, because they're not understanding correctly and properly how to implement that, in all fields, we find that he become harsh to his mother, harsh to his father. Oh, no, I don't eat pork. What's wrong with you? Oh, this is, oh, you're a kafir. Or you're this, or you're that. Or no, this is innovation for somebody. His father is, or mother is a Muslim. Oh, this is mubtadi'. Like this, and become harsh. And then this is a means to cause them to dislike what you're upon. Say, if that's the truth, then you think that's the truth. Well, you're better before that. And the relationship between them. So that's not the proper way to deal with them. Rather, there is a manner and a way to deal with them. If they call you to, for example, buy alcohol for them, you don't talk back to them and rate, are you crazy? Alcohol? I can't do it. You drunk? Or they can't do that. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And إِن جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي. Then his shirk is, which one is shirk? Alcohol or shirk? A shirk. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, Al-Khaliq, Allah ya'lamu man khalaq. Who knows better the Creator? He said, if they call you to make shirk with them, then you deal with them. You don't obey them, but you deal with them in the dunya with kindness. So then if they, likewise alcohol, even lesser than that, by Allah, then you tell, in kindness, you refuse, you disobey them. If they call the child to disobey Allah or His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you disobey them at that time. So, how do we disobey them at that time? بالمعروف. In a good manner, you say, I'm sorry, Mom, I love you, but it's not permissible for me to purchase alcohol or to cooperate with alcohol. Alcohol is a very filthy substance, and it's known to cause much damage to the body and to relationships and to families and to communities and societies, and it's a cancer in the society, and there's no good in like this. But in any case, you know, if you want some thing to eat, I'll fix you something to eat. If you want some juice, I'll get you some juice. But I can't get alcohol. I can't get alcohol. Like this, and in a good manner, with good words. So you disobey them in a good manner. You disobey them in a good manner. So this is the case. وَلَا يَمْنَعَنَّكَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَن تُصَحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. So this is the case here. So here we have the issue, al-bara'ah min al-shirki wa ahlihi, wal-bara'ah wal-muwalat. Also, we have, and the opposite of al-bara'ah, al-bara'ah, al-wala' wal-bara'ah. يعني, so, يعني, هناك موالات وعادات. So this is incumbent for a person of Tawheed and Shahada, and the person who is establishing the Shahada, that he has an allegiance for Tawheed and its people, and that he has an enmity for Shirk and its people, and that he has freed himself from them, and he has allied himself with them, and he loves them and he hates them, and he loves Tawheed and the people of Tawheed, and he dislikes the people of Shirk. This is the case. But likewise, there are some great details in this issue, the issue of Al-Muwalat, Al-Wala, Wal-Bara. And these issues, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in the second Muqaddimah, Al-Muqaddimah Al-Thaniya, fi Thalathati Usul wa Adilatiha. He discusses this, inshallah, in our next class in Usul Al-Thalatha, we will begin the Muqaddimah, inshallah, and we will see the details, inshallah, with regards to that in that class. So we will continue here. The point here, the author is establishing the obligation. Here's the meaning of the Shahada and the meaning of Tawheed. Al-Bara'a min al-Shirk wa ahlihi. Al-Bara'a min al-Shirki wa ahlihi. Wa muwalat ahli al-Tawheed. Wa mu'adat ahli al-Shirk. To have an allegiance with the people of Tawheed and to have enmity for the people of Shirk in this belief. This is the point here. And that this is the obligation of Tawheed. This is the obligation of Tawheed. The one who did not free himself from Shirk and his people, he didn't establish the Shahada properly. He didn't fulfill the right of his shahada, and his tawheed is deficient. Naam. Then the author, he mentions here, وَقَوْلِهِ اتَّخَذُوا أَحْبَارَهُمْ وَرُهْبَانَهُمْ أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. الآيَةِ اتَّخَذُوا أَحْبَارَهُمْ وَرُهْبَانَهُمْ وَأَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. They took their أَحْبَارَهُمْ أي علماءهم وَرُهْبَانَهُمْ عُبَّادَهُمْ. الحبر هو العالم. يقال الحبر والحبر. العالم والجمع أحبار وهم العلماء. نعم ورهبان جمع راهب والراهب العابد العابد. So the people, the children of Israel, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم علماءهم وعبادهم أربابا من دون الله. أرباب جمع رب رب رب. فالرب هو المعبود. فكل من عبد شيئا فهو رب له. اتخذه ربا من دون الله. The Lord, Ar-Rabb is Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the true Lord. And this word is not used mu'arrafan bi'alif wa lam illa lillahi Azza wa Jal. Ar-Rabb. Ar-Rabb. This is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. This is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. If we come to Nakira like this, Rabb, or mudafin, Rabbul Bayt, or Rabbul Sayyara. Nam, like this, then it's permissible. Rabbul Bayt, yani Malik al Bayt. Like this. But those who worship others besides Allah, they have taken their object of worship as a Rabb. Because the Rabb is the Ma'bud. Whoever has, that's his Rabb. He has taken it as the Lord. So they have taken their scholars and their worshippers as lords besides Allah. And then he said, Wal-Masih ibn Maryam. And likewise, the Christians also took Al-Masih ibn Maryam, Rabban, min dunillah, as a Lord. Meaning they worship him. They worship him besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. And they were not commanded except, any all of them, to worship one God, one Lord. لا إله إلا هو سبحانه وعما يشركون. There is nothing worthy of worship except for him. Glorified is he above that which they associate as partners with him. So we see here this verse also is a clarification of the obligation of التوحيد. And the shahada, and the reality of that is that from the meanings of ibadah, al-ta'a, al-ibadah min ma'ani al-ibadah al-ta'a, al-ta'a, obedience. Worship is obedience. We've seen in previous classes the in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Many of the ulama, they mention إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, أي إِلَّا لِأَمُرَهُمْ بِعِبَادَتِي أو إِلَّا لِأَمُرَهُمْ وَأَنْهَاهُمْ. And except to worship me alone, meaning except that I will command them to worship me, or except that I will command them and prohibit them. Naam, and there will be a trial. وَابْتَلِيَهُمْ وَاخْتَبِرَهُمْ بِالتَّكَالِيفِ, and I will try them with accountability. So ibadah, it is complying to the commandments and prohibitions, and in obedience. The reality of ibadah, ta'ah, obedience. So to give that ta'ah in opposition to the ta'ah of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon clarity and belief, to believe that somebody else besides Allah has the ability to declare something an obligation or impermissible, this is shirk. Shirkun fi ta'ah, shirkun in ibadah. So this verse, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has clarified. There was a man, his name is Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a Christian. He said he came to the Prophet wa ala unqi salibun min dhahab. He said, I came to the Prophet and I had on my neck a gold cross. He said he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had on his neck a gold cross. In one narration, a silver cross. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, get rid of that wathan. Take that wathan off of you. What is a wathan? Huh? Idol. Uh-huh. We took that before, right? Al wathan was sanam. What's the difference between the wathan and the sanam? Muraja. It's a review. Al wathan was sanam. Sanam, manhuta. A sanam is something that's carved into a shape of something, a surah. A sanam, it has a surah, it has a picture, it has a form. It's an idol, sanam. Jamu asnam. But it's an idol that has been carved from rock or stone, or has been carved from a wood or the likes like this. It has a surah. It has a form, it's been carved and shaped. Taib, wal wathan? Anything that's worshipped besides general. A grave is a wathan. So kullu sanamin wathan, walaysa kullu wathanin sanamin. So wathan is something general, an idol. Anything that's worshipped besides Allah is a wathan. Wajam wathan awthan. Awthan. But he said, take that wathan off your neck. And he take that idol, that false god, off of your neck. And then he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting this verse, Surah Al-Bara'ah. And then he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innahum lam ya'buduhum." He said, because here Allah, he says that they took their scholars and their worshippers as lords. And Adi, he was from them, radiyallahu anhu. He said, they didn't worship them. And meaning they didn't fast for them, they didn't pray for them, they didn't prostrate before them, they don't go to their scholars or to their priests, and they don't go to their worshippers and then bow before them and prostrate before them and make dua to them like this. They weren't doing this type of worship. What was their worship? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Bala," he said, "yes, they did worship them." Rather, they did. He said, "Innahum harramu alayhim al-halal wa halu lahum al-haram fatabi'uhum fadhalika ibadatuhum iyyahum." He said, yes, they did worship them. Whether their scholars or their priests and their monks or their devout worshippers, they declared haram what Allah made halal, and they declared halal what Allah made haram, and they followed them in that. And they followed him. And he said, what? And this is their worship of them. This is their worship of them. So for somebody to take somebody in the creation as somebody who legislates in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, this is halal. And it's haram. Allah has declared it to be haram. Or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared it to be haram. And then some man, he comes, a sheikh, or whatever the case may be, some individual, or a politician, or whoever he may, no, it's permissible. And then to follow him in that, knowing that it's haram, contrary to the legislation of Allah, and to believe that, this is shirk. Shirk in what? Shirk in ta'ah, in obedience. No one has the right to declare halal and haram except for Allah Azza wa Jal. Except for Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. Abdurrahman ibn Qasim, he mentioned, Rahimahullah, al-ahbar al-ulama, wal-ruhban hum al-ubbad. جعلوه مشرعين في تحليل ما حرم الله والتحريم ما أحل فصاروا بذلك أربابا. He said that they took their ulama, the ahbar is the ulama, and the ruhban, they're the ubad, the worshippers, and they made them musharri'een. Musharri'een, meaning legislators. Any legislation, meaning making permissible and impermissible. They took their priests and their monks and their scholars as legislators besides Allah Azza wa Jal, because they made something and making it halal what Allah had made haram. Even in the Bible, we see that is pork halal. It's not halal. Who made it halal? اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم. They believe that it's halal. They believe that zina is halal. They believe that pork is halal because they took their lord, their monks and priests besides Allah Azza wa Jal as legislators, and they believe now that it's halal and permissible. It's not. Even in their book today, it doesn't make it permissible for them. This is shirk. This is shirk. They have taken them as legislators with Allah Azza wa Jal. With Allah Azza wa Jal. Now he says here, Shaykh Abd al-Rahman ibn Qasim rahimahullah, لِأَنَّ تَشْرِيعَ مِنْ خَصَائِصَ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ اتَّخَذُوهُمْ أَرْبَابًا. Allah Azza wa Jal used the word Rabb, أَرْبَابًا, الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ اتَّخَذُوهُمْ أَرْبَابًا, يعني lords, يعني لهم, يعني جعلوا لهم رُبُوبِيَّةِ, رُبُوبِيَّةِ. He said because تَشْرِيع, to legislate, is from مِنْ خَصَائِصَ, from the specific qualities of الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ, الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. Who can explain that? التشريع من خصائص الربوبية. How is that? صحيح. كلامك صحيح. لكن we want. Let's return to أصول. Always, always we think like this. أصول, أصول, أصول. We learn from foundation. What's the أصول of الربوبية? الخالق. الخالق المالك المدبر. We learned that rububiyyah consists of three major points. What are they? الخلق والملك أو الملك. الخلق والملك والتدبير. طيب. From the right of mulk, the one who. What does mulk mean? The owner. What does ownership entail?
Everything.
Authority. Authority. The one who is the owner, he has authority. You can, you can't. The owner of that phone. Can anybody just grab his phone right now and take it without his permission?
No.
La. If he wants to allow you to use it, can you use it? If he wants to give you to use it only for a certain program, can you do that? It's his, he owns it. He has authority. Allah Azza wa Jal, he has authority of the heavens and the earth. So from the من خصائص الربوبية التشريع يعني الأمر. لا ألا له الخلق والأمر. نعم, he has the creation, he's the one who creates and he's the one who commands. This is from the خصائص الربوبية. Allah Azza wa Jal, he's the one who commands. Allah Azza wa Jal, he's the one who prohibits. Allah Azza wa Jal, he's the one who declares that it is halal and that it is haram. And this is from the specific qualities of الربوبية, of his lordship, of his lordship. Of his lordship. نعم. And then he said, رحمه الله, كما أن العبادة من مستحقات الربوبية. كما أن العبادة من مستحقات الربوبية. Just like عبادة. So to legislate is from the specific qualities of الربوبية. And worship is from those rights of الربوبية. Or what الربوبية necessitates. And the right, the one who sees the rububi of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's a necessitation for him to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. The author, wadih, it's clear. So this verse here is to clarify what? They're making shirk. They took him as lords. They took him as lords besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. So here the author is mentioning the opposite of tawheed, to clarify that it's an obligation to obey Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah, he is the only one who has the right to declare halal and haram, to command and to prohibit. That this is from the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And somebody who took a person besides Allah and legislating and declaring something to be halal and haram, then this one is major shirk. This one is major shirk. There's details here. This chapter, he's going to use this verse again, inshallah, and a whole chapter specifically. So we will take more details there, because there's a reality there. Some people who follow their mashayikh or their or those misguided people, but they don't believe what they are upon is correct. This one, he didn't make shirk. To follow somebody in the disobedience of Allah is a dangerous issue. That's the issue here. These people, they followed their Lord, their scholars and priests and monks in the disobedience of Allah. He said it's halal. Allah said it's haram. He said, okay, it's halal, we do it. He said it's haram. He said it's halal. Okay, it's not haram, we can do it. Like this. But the one who believes that what that man has legislated is correct, this one has disbelieved. As for the one who knows that he's wrong, he just followed him because he's following his desires or to get some portion of the dunya or to gain some wealth, this one didn't disbelieve. This is a sin. This is a sin like this, but the one is called istihlal. Istihlal, to believe or to find something permissible. Allah made it haram and to believe it's permissible. Somebody who believed, a'udhu billah, that alcohol is permissible. Or somebody who believed, somebody said, they say it in this country even, that riba is permissible. Some people, I heard him say that. Some Muslims claim that riba is permissible. A doctor from this country or that country said it's permissible. Somebody asked me, yeah, subhanAllah. Asked me, he said, well, can we take riba? I said, oh, subhanAllah. Well, I mentioned the verse. Well, there's a doctor, he graduated from this university and he's from this country. And he said it, we can in this country because da-da-da-da-da. So subhanAllah. Subhanallah. So believe that this is disbelief. Now, so he says, وَقَوْلِهِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّهُمْ كُحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And from the people, there are those who take peers or rivals along with Allah, and they love them the way they love Allah. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد على آله وصحبه وسلم.